W. Dean Muhammad. Who is he? What has he accomplished? This Muslim leader is supported by the largest body of Muslims in America. He is the son of Elijah Muhammad, who was an inspired social reformer. In 1975, Imam W. Dean Muhammad stepped forward, armed with the Holy Quran and the history of Prophet Muhammad, who established Islam. W. Dean Muhammad was invited to read the Holy Quran at the inauguration of the president. He also has given the invocation at the United States Senate and the Georgia Senate. There is no doubt history will record that W. Dean Muhammad's clear, balanced vision of humanity being brought together will help ensure a brighter future for America and the world. And now we are honored to present Imam W. Dean Muhammad.
There was a young boy and a young man. I never thought of Muslims having a future in America. I never thought of blacks or African Americans really having a future in America. I thought that this country was against Muslims and against blacks, and there was no way for me to think that Muslims or blacks had a future in this country. But as I've lived and learned and experienced and witnessed changes in this country, I've come more and more to believe that we should ourselves claim a future.
Yes, sir.
In America, whether it's offered to us or not, we should claim a future in America. Not just blacks, but Muslims should claim a future in America. Allahu Akbar. When I have finished this presentation, made my points, I hope that it'll be clear in your mind how I can be at ease saying that Muslims have a future in America. We know the glorious time of Islam lasted for a few centuries, and then that glorious day was gone. By the time America was discovered over here, the glorious, bright torch of Islam had gone, receded into the darkness. This is history. And we wouldn't have known anything about this religion had it not been for certain persons who believed that they could sneak Islam into America. And I'm not going to name any of those persons who did this sneaky job. But I just thank Allah that I came up in an environment and thought myself to be a Muslim. And I know in my heart and in my soul and in the good intent of my mind, I was a Muslim. And many of you were also Muslims. But in our thinking, we were far away from what is truly Islam. But do you know they say, and I'm a witness, they plan and Allah plan. They plan and God plans. You know? And in the Quran, Allah says, and God is the best of planners. Yes. And another saying is that the ways of God are sometimes very hard to understand. God acts in mysterious ways. Well, I do believe that the only true God, the only one, the only true God took us up as his interest. because of our innocence, because of our innocence, God took us up into His charge because of our innocence. And God was going to see that we be given what our souls wanted. And our souls wanted the truth. Our soul wanted to know what is the right way. And God answered that wish in our souls and have blessed us now to be followers of the Word of God, the Quran, and the messenger of that word, Muhammad the Prophet. Prayers and peace be on him. However, I don't think the world has changed enough for Muslims that we could say now that bright torch light of the Quran and the Sunnah of our Prophet or the lifestyle of our Prophet is in the world again for people to see. Throughout the Muslim world, there is trouble. Political trouble, spiritual trouble, religious trouble throughout the Muslim world. Some nations of Muslims are better off than the others. But if you want to describe the whole of the Muslim world, it is a troubled world. The Muslim world is a troubled world. Its soul is burdened. Most of the Muslims are not satisfied with Islam as it is heard, as it is heard in their ears, in their own nations. So it's no strange thing, nothing to raise the eyebrow if we are not all pleased with what we are hearing in America of Islam. They're not pleased with what they're hearing in their own countries. The Islamic public globally is terribly dissatisfied with the way their religion is given to them or presented. There's a desperation, too, that goes along with that troubled soul, or that is burdening that troubled soul. That desperation is seen in the support that the strong leader of Iraq received from many Muslims around the world, particularly in these United States. Imam Khomeini, may God give him paradise, Imam Khomeini, the great support that he got was evidence of a lot of that desperation that's in the global group soul of the global Muslim community. So desperate to have a new voice, strong new voice. So desperate to have a strong new leader speak against the present or what is and promise something else to come. Desperate to have a voice, a strong voice, a strong leader. So Khomeini got the great support. Anyone who will stand up in the name of the religion and express a disapproval for what is the established way for Muslims presently will get great support from the Muslim publics throughout the international world. Great support. What has caused this burden on the group soul of the Muslim of the world, the Muslim Ummah of the international world? Firstly, the loss of genuine Muslim leadership. There's a lot to be said about how that genuine Muslim leadership was lost. But know this, that the Prophet knew it would be lost. Whereas in peace be upon Muhammad, the Prophet, he said that his community was going to go to sleep. And he said that it will be returned by those who supported it in the first. And the scholars all accept that he meant, that he was saying, that it won't be the rich and the powerful and the wise, but it will be the poor that will support the new awakening of Islam. The poor. Not only the poor in material means, but also the poor in spirit and the poor in intellect, in mind, in education, in knowledge. I do believe that every competitor of Islam did whatever they could to remove Islam from the competition. The Christian society of the world, under its land-greedy, power-greedy leaders, the Jews, its selfish leadership that wanted to harvest whatever they could harvest from the world of mankind, and others all conspired together, befriended each other, supported each other to get al-Islam, the religion of Muslims, out of the competition. And the great glorious day of Islam was soon gone. I think the last of the great Muslim nations, and really this nation was nothing to admire, for Muslims to admire when it was powerful, was Turkey. Turkey, the country Turkey. I think it was the last one to hold power. It lasted up until 1920, I think, or so. It was still a powerful nation. Still a competing nation with the other nations, Turkey. But finally, Turkey lost its power. And all of them came under Western power. Western power since, I would say, the turn of the century almost. 18th century to the 19th century. The Western power have been in power. They have been in power. But up until that time, Turkey had a piece of that power. Yes, a strong country, a great strong nation. In ancient times, and in medieval times, and in modern times. Turkey is something else. Yeah, the Turks were strong in ancient times, capital of Anatolia. They were strong in ancient times, they were strong in medieval times, and strong in modern times. And Islam gave them the shot in the arm to bring them back to power as an empire, as an empire, or leading power in the world. Then after that came occupation by the West, occupying the lands they conquered, or the lands that fell under their power. Many of the Muslim lands fell under Western authority, under Western power. Many of the Muslim lands. Today, a lot of that burden in the soul of the Muslim population of the world is caused by colonial domination, by Christian authority and Western political powers imposing a way of life on them that their souls didn't want. Some places, the education was completely taken over by the occupiers, those foreigners who occupied their land. They didn't send their children to the schools of their choices. They sent their children to the school of the new boss's choice. Many of them became Christian. I have talked to individuals who were made Christians after they were born Muslims because they were raised in Christian schools on their land, in their land, on the Muslim land, in the Muslim land. If they wanted education, they had to go to Christian school. They couldn't get education unless they went to Christian schools. In fact, I know a gentleman right now who has a high position in his country. He's a Muslim now. He's a clan Muslim now, openly clan Muslim. But he told me how he had to go to school and get an education as a Christian, and how he had to recite the Christian lessons, Christian lessons that they gave him. So he told me, he said, before I learned to recite Al-Fatiha, he said, I was reciting the Christian lessons. So we have to understand what has occurred since the time of our Prophet and the great leadership of Islam to bring the Muslims to the mind that they have today. Colonialism, colonial domination, and colonialism, one of those things. Christian takeover of their culture, of their religion, their teaching of their religion and their culture, another thing. Jews influence in their education, another thing. Puppets, leaders, who would obey what they thought those who put them in power wanted them to do, were also part of that a problem. They too were leading their people wrong and forcing their people to go along with a government order and a cultural society, a cultural environment that their souls were against. Many fell victim of all those different kind of developments in their life that was un-Islamic. Many of them became Christian. Some became Jews. Others just were lost. Just lost. Still call themselves Muslims, but most of them lost. So when the Imam Khomeini began to get popular, not only the Shiites or the followers of Khomeini and those that we associate with the Imam Khomeini, but Muslims who call themselves Sunni Muslims, not Shiite, and many others began to think that maybe the rebirth of Islam is here. They called it the resurgence, Islamic resurgence. This is how it was described. Maybe the rebirth of Islam is here. Most of those that we saw on television were part of the desperation that was burdening the soul of the Muslim world. They were really factors in that desperation. Principles. Elements, strong elements, factors in that desperation. Imam Khomeini himself, he was desperately battling to get the Islamic life back to his country after the puppet, the Shah, had gone along with the West, even beyond what they would expect him to do. Yes, and let his people leave Islam. I was making it easy for his people to leave Islam and hard for the children to come up knowing Islam, the real Islam. But Imam Khomeini was a desperate man himself. And he lived that kind of life, dealing with desperate situations until he passed from this world. May God give him paradise, I repeat.
All
right. Just giving you some information that we need before I present my observation. This is just history, you see. When you study the history and see what the Crusades did to confuse the idea of Islam in the world's mind, and the Muslims who were also fighting the Christians fighting Muslims, Muslims fighting Christians, they too had something to do with that ugly image that was left in the world of Muslims and Christians. It's an ugly page, long, ugly page in the history for Muslims and for Christians, that two people belong to religions, claim to believe in the Almighty God, just slaughter each other up mercilessly, and slaughter and slaughter and slaughter without end, thinking that one will be given the dominance over the other. The Christian powers, they won out over the Muslim powers, but Christianity certainly didn't win out over Islam. It's more numerous now than it ever was in numbers, in the number of people that say they are followers of Islam or followers of the Quran and Muhammad the Prophet. More numerous now than ever. The numbers didn't decrease with the victory of the Christian West over Islam. Our numbers didn't increase. Our numbers continued to grow, even among them, in their own ranks. Their own people began to defect and go Muslim, go to Islam, in their own ranks. So it was a political victory. It was a material victory. It was an economic victory, etc. But it was certainly not a religious victory. It was not a religious victory. And that's what they're supposed to have been fighting for, to see which religion was going to dominate. God is the best knower. And God is always in charge. So if they had a victory, the victory is in the Muslims' ignorance of their own religion. But they haven't taken the Quran and Islam and Muhammad out of our hearts. No victory there. But they have confused the real picture for us up here in our minds. And even our popular leaders, that stand up in the name of Muslims, most of them are not doing anything to help correct that. Rather, they are contributing to more confusion, keeping the real idea of Islam more confused. What has Saddam done to make us understand Islam? Nothing. He'll put a burden on us, or he'll put another burden on us. Nothing. Well, now we have many voices. I don't want to name any of them by name. Many voices standing up and screaming in the name of Islam. Well, now we have noise pollution. Islamic noise pollution. And it is heavy. Islamic noise pollution. Burdening the global soul of the Muslim community. We have many misconceptions, many wrong ideas of what Islam is, many given to us by the Christians. Many Christians right today, they haven't been corrected for them. Many Christians today think that Muslims are antichrist. Peace be upon the Prophet Christ Jesus. Think that Muslims are the antichrist. That we are on earth to try to defeat Christianity. And that we do not accept the Prophet Christ Jesus. That we're against him. That's the propaganda that's on the Christians. Then on the Muslim side, we got those that say anyone who don't believe like us are kafirs. And we are not to be their friends. They are our enemies. And who are these kafirs? They are Christians. And they're Jews. Oh, that's a difficult way to introduce Islam to me, buddy. And I don't like all the difficulty you put me in when you introduce it to me that way. Now, I got to start out as a Muslim in a Christian society, believing that all these Christians in my family and next door neighbors and all these people that are Christians are kafirs and are my enemies. I can't sleep among all these enemies. It drives me crazy. If I believe that, I got to get my passport and go somewhere. I got to find me a place that's not Christian. I don't want to live among Christians. All of them are my enemies. I don't want to live among them. Now, what the hell are you all come here from? Jordan and Syria, Lebanon, and Egypt, and Pakistan, and India. What the hell are you all coming over here for to be among all these enemies? Something wrong with them. Something's terribly wrong with them. And I don't see you over here setting up mosques. And I don't see you over here defeating these enemies. All I see you doing is joining them to go in my pocket. So this must be a scheme of theirs that they want to sell to one people, African American. Yes, I believe that they have targeted only one people for that kind of teaching, the African Americans. So they can eliminate 30 million of us from the competition. So they say, well, we got 30 million of them eliminated. All we got to do is to compete with the other 200 million or so of Americans. We've eliminated 30 million. They ain't in the competition. Thank you.